This is the last Sunday of the year 2019. Like my wife said, we'll never see this day again. 4 days after Christmas. Again, my last Sunday school was this morning that we had of this year, 2019. Now, Christmas, for some people, is just one time a year. But for us that are Christians, it ought to be something that we do all the time. Jesus didn't just resurrect or didn't just was born. He is living every day in our life. Amen? But if you start going around visiting today, you start going through people's houses today, you'll find out that some people's trees still standing, like we got a tree back there. Some people have already took down the decoration. You'll find out that a lot of presents have already been gone and open. I don't know if it happened in your house, but every now and then around the Christmas tree, one of the names get knocked off and the box is there under the tree and everybody done passed out all the gift and there's a box with no name on it. And so usually what happened is the person, like in my house, that wraps all the gift, my wife, she have to take it and shake it and say, oh, okay, I know what it is. I know who it belongs. Lost tag, but they find out. But many families and members, again, sometime after Christmas, they get depressed. All the excitement, all the glamour is gone. The commotion is gone. I was at the barber shop and the barber say, all this for one day. We get all excited. We have Black Friday and all this stuff and everybody going and spend all that, and then it's over. Right. Well, it's only over in people who use that day for the wrong reason. Because that day is all about Jesus Christ. Amen. But I want you to know that, believe it or not, there are more suicides happen after Christmas than anywhere else. Because people have a big letdown and they attempt suicide and they get down in the dumps. They get gloomy. Matter of fact, I was just seeing on Facebook, this Norwegian princess ex-husband committed suicide on Christmas Day. So there's a lot of people that get depressed. They call it the blues after Christmas. Amen. But we're going to look at a story in the Bible about Joseph. We've been talking about Joseph, but we're going to look at how Joseph was able to continue to function after Christmas, after things didn't turn out the way he thought. Amen. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 2. We've already been talking about the Christmas story. We've already been talking about Mary and Joseph and the virgin and how Gabriel appeared and Elizabeth. Now we're looking at what happened after all this happened to Joseph and Mary. Matthew chapter 2. When you get that, say amen. We're going to call this Joseph Part 2. I talked about Joseph Part 1, seeing Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. Now we're going to look at Joseph Part 2. Matthew chapter 2. Let's look at verse 11 first. It says, and when they were come into the house, by the way, this is the Magi, and this is after Christmas, because at Christmas it was a manger and a stable, but now it's a house. So it's 2 years later. A lot of people at Christmas time, I hate to shoot your theology down the tube, but the wise man wasn't there at Christmas. But we put the wise man right next to the stable and we put the shepherds and the ghosts in the back. But really, that's not theologically correct. They didn't come until 2 years later. Y'all with me today? They saw the young child. By the way, it didn't say babe in a manger. Not babe in a wrap. They saw the young child with Mary, what? His mother, and fell down and worshiped him. We're going to see how. After Christmas, they came and fell down. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented to him gifts. What are they? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, They departed into their own country. In other words, now you know the story. They came to Herod and they say, where is he that born king of the Jews? Herod said, he went to the Pharisees and the Jews and say, in Bethlehem of Judea. And Herod said, now when you find him, bring me word, because I want to come and worship him. But we're going to find out later, God always intervenes when it comes to something that he's working out for his own glory. Amen. Verse 13, this is where our text from today. And when they, that's the Magi, were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to who?
Joseph.
Now, this is Joseph in his second appearance in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee. Now, this is called the blues. Now, you just had a great Christmas, but now you got to run for your life. Flee until where? Well, we just talked about that today, how Egypt is in the Bible and everywhere you talk about, and all these people in Egypt act like they don't know nothing about Jesus. Yeah, this all happened right there, right in the center of Jerusalem in Egypt. Amen? And be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod would what? Seek the young child to destroy. He said, I need you to leave. I need you to get up and pack and move on out, because Herod's going to kill him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother, his wife, by what? Night. We're going to see Joseph. A lot of times happen that he got up that night and did it and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of what?
Egypt.
Call my son. I don't know how Egyptians don't have anything to do with color, but Egyptians are usually dark-skinned people, and Egyptians are down in Africa, and God called Jesus. And by the way, well, I shoot your theology again, Jesus' color was probably more olive than anything else, but we don't know that. But anyway, out of Egypt I called my son. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, and exceedingly wroth or angry, and sent forth, and what he did, slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts there are from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise. I was thinking about Quintet's son. I was thinking, boy, if you're under two, boy, you've been in bad shape around that time, because Herod killed all the young boys. Amen? Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel, this is going all the way back to Rachel, the favorite wife of Joseph, Jacob. You'll find out that she died at childbirth when she was having Benjamin. We talked about that. Amen. Weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Now, were they not coming back? But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream unto Joseph in Egypt. So this is the third time. The first time before he married her. The second time to take the baby 2 years and go down to Egypt. The third time I need you to come back home. Saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of what? Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, by the way, Herod was a title, and then a lot of times the Herod and his grandson and all of them, Archelaus was one of the descendants of Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. So he's still being warned of God. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. We talked about that this morning, how he went to the Sea of Galilee. Now read verse 23 with me. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. He shall be a Nazarene. Now, I'm not here to get into all the churches, but there's a church of Nazarene, there's a church. All that doesn't mean anything if you don't go according to the word of God. Jesus was a Nazarene, not a Nazarite. A Nazarite was one that took a vow. But Jesus was a Nazarene. But most of all, he's the Savior of the world. Amen? I want to talk to you this morning briefly about how Joseph dealt with the post-Christian blues. This is after Christmas. This is after the angels came and told him, behold, a Savior is born. This is 2 years later. And a lot of time, a lot of people get depressed after Christmas. All the family's gone back. All the gifts are gone back. Now we're going back to the same old routine, paying the bills and keeping, and they get depressed. But I want to show you that Joseph didn't. And we're going to look at some example how we ought to not get depressed after Christmas. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for our Sunday school lesson. Thank you for Jesus calling his first disciples. Thank you, Lord, for opening prayer by Jerry, Lord. Thank you for all the things that you mean to us, Lord, our testimonies, our praises. And just thank you for a time of just fellowship, Lord. Thank you for a time of singing a song, a time of a covenant reading. Thank you for birthdays and anniversaries. Thank you, Lord, for us celebrating going on 42 years or 41 years, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for, again, seeing our brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord. Thank you again for my wife doing the announcement, Jerry taking up the offering. And thank you for the people upstairs being led to by the grace of God, to pay for the last 3 years of what they've been using. And then just thank you, Lord, for the last two songs of the praise team. Lord, there are many that are not with us this morning. I pray that you minister to them where they're at. I think about Sister Betty and some of the rest of them. I think about the teenagers and the kids. Lord, I pray that you put in their heart and their mind, and especially the parents, the importance of being under the word of God. Now, Lord, I'm not sufficient in myself, so I pray that you let me down in the treasure of your word. Forgive me my sin. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
From a human standpoint, Joseph's world was shattered or turned upside down. Think about that. You engage to a woman, then all of a sudden you find out she's pregnant. And then you're trying to divorce her privately. Then all of a sudden you find out the angel said, hold on a minute. Mary is innocent. So his world was kind of shattered. I mean, he was thinking about, well, who Mary, who she's been with? Because she's pregnant. And at that time, we never had a virgin birth. So in his mind, she had been promiscuous. She'd been unfaithful. And so his world was shattered. What would that do to him in the Jewish community? You know, when you get married and everybody know about the groom and the bride, and now Joseph has got a pregnant to be wife. What would that do in his community? What would that do to his reputation? What would that do to his carpenter business? He probably had a business where he was fixing benches and building tables and stuff. Now people are going to say, well, you know his wife got pregnant. You know his girlfriend pregnant. You know, and all that was talk going around. So, and then there was a situation that may be exposed to church. Back then, if you got pregnant in Israel, they put you out of the church. They put you out of the synagogue. Matter of fact, if a girl played the whore, played the harlot, they would stone her to death. Amen? So all these things was going on in Joseph's life. How would his family members take it? Mary's pregnant. You a good boy. She done got pregnant. So all these things were going on. But I want to show you today, with all that happened in Joseph's life, Joseph is going to take courage in the Lord. He's going to follow God's direction. And through all these, Joseph is not going to let anything get him down in the dumps. Amen? And I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you had some trials in your life, or maybe you've been thinking God has not showed up when he should. But let me help you out. God is still on the throne, and he's still going to work it out for his honor and glory. So don't get down in the dumps after the Christmas lights and the glamour and everything is gone and everything back to routine. Remember that we serve a God that's still on the throne. Amen? 3 points we're going to talk about. The point number one is how we know that Joseph didn't get the blues after post-Christmas. If Joseph received guidance from the Lord and revelation. Now I want you to pay real close attention to this story. If you look in the Bible on Joseph, there's not any word ever recorded that he ever said. Joseph was not a talkative person. He only listened. Sometime our biggest problem is we do more talking than we listen. Amen. We need to start listening to the voice of God. Amen. The Bible in James says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. God gave us two ears and one tongue. A lot of time we talk too much. We're busy about it. We're trying to figure out things instead of waiting on the Lord. I don't know what's going through in your life. I don't know what's coming in year 2000. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. But I know one thing, God knows. Amen. He holds the future. And there's no sense in me trying to figure it out. What I need to do is take one step at a time. Amen? Slow down, Joseph. Joseph had, again, a public contract. He was engaged. Again, it was in the newspaper. But then Joseph had a dream, and an angel came to him and said, Joseph, don't fear to take Mary. Now, here's the second dream, and the angel comes and says, arise, Joseph, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Now, Joseph never been to Egypt. Why in the world am I going to Egypt? Because Herod will seek to kill the young child. Amen? Joseph got a new bride. I want you to think about this. Joseph, just not too long ago, walked 80 miles with a donkey with a pregnant wife. For 80 miles. And then when he got down there, he couldn't find a place to stay because there was no room at the inn. Now, he already been through trauma. He already done had some heartaches. And now, in the middle of the night, the angel said, you got to get up out of here. You got to go. Joseph, we're going to find out, was very obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not question. He barely had enough money, but he was willing to follow what the angel said. Amen? Amen. Now, from Nazareth up to Bethlehem was about 80 miles. Now, from where he's at back in Nazareth, back to Egypt is 90 miles. So now Joseph got to go another 90 miles back again, probably on foot and with a small child and with a donkey and a wife. But he's got to obey. Now look at the text. Go back to the text, Matthew chapter 2. Verse 13 says, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee. The word flee, that means you ain't got time to wait around. You ain't got time to put everything in order. You just got to get up and go. Flee unto Egypt and be thou until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now look at verse 14. When he arose, this is Joseph getting up out of bed, he took the young child and his mother. When? He said, we got to go now. God ain't gave me time to run down to Kroger's or run down and do no other. I got to go now. God said, go to Egypt. He got up that night and departed. Sister Russell can identify with this. You know, when you're going somewhere, you got to pack. You got to get a suitcase. My wife would say, Gita, go downstairs and get the suitcase. You know, I said, which one you want, the big one or the little? Now, Joseph didn't have time to get a lot of stuff together. Now, he don't even know how long he's going to be in Egypt. By the way, he's going to have to stay down there until Herod dies. So think about that. Now, you going on a trip, you got two or three pair of clothes, but you're going to be down there for a whole two or three years. So Joseph is in a dire need. He's got word about it, but you know what Joseph did? He was obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Second point, I want to say, first of all, Joseph received guidance and revelation. Second point is God provided Joseph the money and the finance. See, it looks like Joseph is in a dire need, but you forgot that those three wise men came to see Joseph before he left, and they brought to him three gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Amen? Now, if you were to look at this today, that gold, frankincense, and myrrh was worth about $500,000. So Joseph was a poor man, but God had already made provision to give him money so he could live down in Egypt until the death of Herod. Are y'all with me? Herod was a monster. Herod wanted to be king. He wanted people to worship him. Caesar also was like that. But Herod, when they said, we come to worship King of the Jews, Herod was like, King of the Jews? I'm the King of the Jews. I'm the one that's over the Jews. Who in the world gonna come out and say they the King of the Jews? So Herod tried to trick the wise man. By the way, you can't trick God. And he told the wise man, say, he's in Bethlehem, but when you find him, when you find this baby Jesus, or this child Jesus, bring me word back, because I want to go and worship him also. But the angel of the Lord knew that Herod was alive. But when they found, here's the second miracle, when they got down to Nazareth, that star that they saw in the east appeared again. Y'all remember that? And the star led them to where the child was. Now, I want y'all to pay close attention to a miracle. Now, God knows your name. He knows where you live at. He knows your social security. He knows every birthmark on you. Think about this. They living in a house. The star came out and directed them and went and sit right on top of their house where they lived at. So God took them right into the place where they live. Let me show you another. Turn to Acts real quick. Show you. This just came to my mind. This wasn't even my message. But Acts chapter 9. This is the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul got saved, he was in a house. And God told a man named Ananias to go to the house. Y'all remember the story? Acts chapter 9, when you get that, say amen. Look at verse 10. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named what? Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. Now, Joseph just had a vision or dream. Now, Ananias has a vision. Ananias. And he said, what he said? Behold, I am here, Lord. Now, look what the Lord said in verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called what?
Street.
I want you to know God knows the name of your street. Just in case you thought you could get away, God knows exactly. God said, now the street name. Now, if it was my house, he said, now the street name, Highwood Drive. I want you to go down Highwood Drive. I want you to go down. God called the name of the street. And then he said, and inquire in the house. God even know where he was at. Of Judas. For one called who?
Saul of Tarsus.
He said, not only do I know the name of the street, I know whose house you're in. Same thing he told the wise man. He said, this star is going to be over the house. And when you get to the house, go in the house. And you'll find Joseph and Mary and the young baby. Are y'all with me? No, not Reverend Father McCoy. He was 2 years old. He was 2 years old. He was probably, you know what they call the terrible twos? Walking around in his clothes on. So he told him, Judas for one called Saul for Tarsus. For behold, he what? God even know when he was praying. Back to our text, the wise man had came and gave that gold to Joseph. But Herod got so angry, he got so wroth, that he sent out a decree to kill all the babies. Matter of fact, he said from Ramah all the way up to Bethlehem. Now, if I was to bring that up to the 21st century, this is 5 miles north, 5 miles south in the circle. So if I was to bring it up today, he would say, kill all the children all the way up to Udawah. Kill all the children all the way south to Hickson. Kill all the way to the circle of Soddy Daisy, Signal Mountain, Hooker, Georgia, and don't forget Jasper. So God was killing all, Herod was killing all the baby boys in that whole spectrum because he was just that mad. But God had already made a provision for Jesus. He had already took him at night and ran to Egypt. Amen. A lot of times God do things at night. You remember when Ruth, when Naomi told her, said, now, he up there threshing wheat at the wine press. So what I need you to do is go up there, and when he go to sleep, lay down and tell him to put his skirt on. Y'all remember the story? This was asking for, again, a husband, asking for protection. And then when Boaz found out of Ruth, he said, now, you need to leave before daylight. So nobody knows, because I'm going to have to go to the kinsman who's before me and see will he buy you for his wife. Y'all remember the story? So a lot of things happened at night. Well, Joseph got up and left at night. But again, God had gave Joseph the money to survive in Egypt. Now, if you notice, when the magi came into the house, the Bible said they fell down and worshiped the child. If you study the scripture, only God receives worship. Every time somebody would fall down, one time when Peter went down to Cornelius' house, Cornelius fell down and he said, "Get up, I'm a man, just like you, man." And then when John was on the Isle of Patmos, one of the elders, John, fell down. He said, "Get up, I'm just an elder like you." But when they fall down and worship Jesus, Jesus never tell them to get up because he's God. Amen? Let me show you another verse. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. This just came to my mind. This wasn't in my message, but I want to show you this. Luke chapter 24. When you get that, say amen. Start at verse 49. It says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you've been endued with power from on high." Y'all with me? Luke 24:50. "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." Now read verse 51 with me. "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up in a," verse 52, "and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and was continuing in the temple, praising and blessing God." Now you see where it said they worship him? You don't see anywhere in the scripture where Jesus said, "No, don't worship me." They worship him because Jesus is God. That little baby boy that was in the house, that when the magi got there, was all God and all man. Now people say, I don't understand it either, but I know one thing. He's 100% God, he's 100% man. It's called the hypostatic union. When he was a baby in the cradle, he was all God. When he was a 2-year-old boy, when the magi got there, he was all God. When he was 10 years old, confounding the doctors in the synagogue, he was all God. Amen? Jesus Christ, so they worship God. Jesus Christ was being tempted by the devil, and the devil said, took him up on the pinnacle and said, "All these kingdoms of the world I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." Y'all remember that? By the way, Jesus didn't say he didn't have the kingdom. So let me tell you, the god of this world is the devil. But Jesus said to the devil, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shall thou worship." We should only worship. There's only one person that deserves my worship. You know who his name? Jesus Christ. I saw a cartoon. Now, y'all don't shoot me for this, but I saw a cartoon in the newspaper, and they always way out in politics. They had our president up on a pedestal, and they had the far-right evangelist worship him. They said, "Oh, this is our God." Let me tell you, you don't worship man, okay? We should not worship man. Now, I'm not trying to criticize him, but we need to worship God. Every man that's got feet of clay cannot be in the place of God. We should worship. By the way, we don't worship our family members. We don't worship our wife. We don't worship our children. We don't. And by the way, if you ever put something in the place of God, most of the time he'll take it, because God will not share his glory with another. Amen. So we need to worship God. So anyway, they fell down and worshiped God. And like I said, he gave them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we go back to, how is Joseph going to survive? Philippians 4:19 says it like this: "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. I know some of you this year may be thinking, "How am I going to pay my bill?" Let me help you out. His name is Jehovah Jireh. Some of you may be thinking of that, "How am I going to make this dinner?" And I don't know whether you know it or not. I hope she don't mind me sharing, but we had a lady in our church, well, not in our church, but remember our church, she had came down with high blood pressure, came down with diabetes, came down with hypertension, and she had over $30,000 medical bill. And she came to the church, and she said, "I want y'all to pray because I got this big bill and we can't pay it. Y'all remember that? I give you the good news. I got a phone call and she said the bill was paid in full. God provided. And just to show you that she wasn't playing, she started giving out gifts and she gave me a gift. And I said, you don't have to give me a gift. She said, look, I can't pay you for the prayers that God did when he paid for my medical bill. Let me tell you, whenever you are in need, remember his name is Jehovah Jireh. Whenever you think you can't make ends meet, remember that he can provide. God will take care of you. Now, let me just break it to you even this last year of the year. If he feed the birds, he can feed you. I ain't never seen a sparrow planting anything, have you? Let me tell you, if God, he told the disciples, he said, hold on a minute. Look at the birds of the air. They sow. He said, they neither sow nor reap, but your heavenly Father feed them. Amen. Are you much better than your heavenly Father? You know, I told you about the time how we used that saying that early bird get the worm, you know that? Mm-hmm. And somebody said, well, one little boy said, well, Dad, are you always talking about God takes care of the bird? Well, how come he didn't take the other worm? He said, well, he said, well, the worm stayed out all night. He's in trouble. But God feeds the bird. Not only does God feed the bird, God clothes the grass. He said, look at the clover. Look at the lilies of the field. By the way, I don't know why Sister Gaines was telling me that today when I'm picking up. It's going to be 70 degrees in Chattanooga. But look at the grass, how God clothes the grass. You know, if God can take care of the grass, he can take care of you. Amen. He can take care of you. He can take care of your clothes. Now, I grew up in a society, you know, maybe y'all weren't told like me. But when I grew up, we were hand me down. You know, you have brothers and sisters, they hand clothes down. And then when my mother would buy stuff, you know, we would go to, back then it was Gaylord's and all. It wasn't no Walmart back then. But anyway, she would buy these. And, you know, I wore the Buddies. I didn't wear the Al Jordans and all the $200 tennis shoes. I didn't wear those back then. But back then, even with being poor, God took care of her. Amen? He took care of our need. Let me tell you, God will take care of you. Stop worrying. Stop. One of the biggest problems in America is we worry. Somebody asked the preacher one time, they say, well, how do you pray without ceasing? He said, just like you worry, stop worrying and start praying. Say, yeah, you worry about everything, so pray about everything. So you know how to worry, don't you? Well, what is going to happen then? Well, then won't you start praying about it? So if you start praying instead of worrying, you won't have that headache, that migraine headache. Are you listening to me? You won't have that tension. You won't have them ulcers in your stomach. You won't have that problem because you let the cares of this world burden you down. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what? And all these things shall be added. You know what the things was considered? The physical thing, the material thing, the spiritual thing. Everything that you need, God will provide. Amen? So Joseph was obedient. Point number one, Joseph had God revelation to him when the angel told him to go down to Egypt. Point number two, God provided for Joseph. He gave him the necessary finances to get down. And the last point is, after Christmas, instead of being a church dropout, become a habitual church grower disciple. Amen? So a lot of people go to church 2 times a year. Jerry said they go 3 times a year. Mother's Day, Easter, and Christmas. But what we need to do, we need to be faithful to God all the time. Amen? Joseph was obedient to the voice of the God. Joseph heard the voice of the God. The Bible says there are many voices, 1 Corinthians 14:10. There are many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without signification. Let me tell you, make sure you're listening to God. Joseph heard God. Now, there's the voice of man. There's the voice of the flesh. There's the voice of the world. There's the voice of the devil. But make sure you listen to the voice of God. Let me help you out since you don't not follow me. I can see Joseph's listening to the old flesh saying, get rid of Mary. I wouldn't put up with that. Let her go. Get out of your life. But then the angel was saying, no, go ahead and marry Mary. She's a godly woman. And then I could see the voice saying, here,
trying to kill you. I ain't finna get up and walk all the way down to Egypt. I just got back from Nazareth. I ain't finna do that. That's too much. And you know, we're the first people to complain about, that's too hard, Lord. I ain't doing that. Let me tell you, Joseph listened to the voice of God. God said, get up at night and flee. Run. By the way, flee means exactly what that is. That means you ain't got time for it. You ain't got time. You need to get up and go. Joseph listened to the voice of God. Joseph knew that he needed to do what God says. We're 2 years, the day is the 29th, we're 2 days from getting ready to go in the new year to 2020. Don't be contrary or don't be counter to the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Stop rebelling. Stop being wayward child. Stop being a prodigal son. Stop being a vagabond. Listen to the word of God. The word of God said we need to be, I think I heard Deacon Jennings say today, you know, him and his wife, they got a devotion. They doing things for the Lord. We need to do that every day of our life. Be faithful. Amen. Listen to God. God want to bless you. God want to give you the final. God want you to be successful. He wants you to do things. So this year, be faithful to the Lord. I got a few people in the Bible that was very faithful to the Lord. One of them was Joseph. Joseph was the one that his brother put him in a pit. But the Bible said, and the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. God directed his step. Ruth, we talked about Ruth. Ruth obeyed her mother-in-law, Naomi. And God blessed Ruth. The three Hebrew boys listened to God. They could have said, you know what? I'm going to bow down because Nebuchadnezzar is going to put me in a fiery furnace. But you know what they said? They said, we're not careful, King, to answer you. Our God who we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But just in case he don't, we're going to follow his word. Amen. We're not going to bow. So be obedient to the word of God. David was again demoted by Saul. When David became to the throne, Saul got jealous of him. And then Saul began to try to kill David. And David began to run for his life. But David continued to listen to the voice of God. When Saul was delivered into his hand, David said, you know what? I dare not touch the Lord anointed. David said, I'm going to wait on the Lord. So we need to wait on the Lord. Daniel was another one. Daniel was a teenager that went down into Babylon. Daniel's purpose in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. And then when Daniel promoted to vice president, Daniel was barring one day, and the other president went and told the king that Daniel was barring down, and they had Daniel thrown into a den of lions. But you know what Daniel did? He listened to the voice of God. That old king came that morning. He was so nervous. He couldn't sleep that night. And he had that stone rolled away from that den, and he hollered with the Bible says, lamenting voice. He said, Daniel said, King Darius, live forever. God has sent his angel. And he closed the mouth of the lion. So Daniel listened to the voice of God. Amen? And then Peter. I don't know what you know the story about Peter, but Peter got put in jail. The Lord had told Peter, said, now, Peter, when you're old, they're going to stretch you out. And they're going to take you where you don't want to go. He was signifying that Peter was going to be crucified upside down. And then Herod got so big one day, he stretched his arm and killed James. Y'all remember the story, the brother of James. And then after Easter, he was going to kill Peter. Y'all know the story. And he put Peter in a double maximum prison, way down in confinement. But the angel came to Peter and said, Peter, you need to get on up and get your clothes on. It's time to go. And Peter, just like Joseph, was in a dream. He's like, what now? And Peter couldn't quite understand. And the Bible said while they was walking, that security gate opened up by itself. I'm telling you, God is a good God. Now, they had guards on it, but the guard was like dead man. And when they got to the second ward, it opened up by itself. And then when they got down to the street corner, the angel left him. And Peter woke up and he said, wait a minute now. I'm outside. So Peter went to the house. Y'all know the story. Knocked on the door. Here it is. The church was praying. Oh, by the way, this is us all the time. We're praying for something God already delivered. And they were praying, Lord, save Peter.
Lord, Herod done killed James. Lord, we praying, Peter. And Rhoda, it always somebody like Rhoda, somebody young who just believed God, came to the door. And she said, who is it? He said, Peter. She got so excited. Peter! She said, let me run back and tell everybody. She went back and found the church right now on their knees. She said, hey! Peter's at the door. They said, woman, you crazy. You lost it, hadn't you? Peter's in jail. Herod done killed James. Peter's in maximum security. You can't get in there if you try. Abatrash, what they call an abatrash. They put them in prison. They got it surrounded by barbed wire. They got a lake. They got it, and they still help people get out, okay? And she said, no, it's Peter. And the Bible said Peter kept on knocking. Well, somebody opened the door. They finally opened the door, and Peter was standing there. I guess Peter said, I'm glad y'all finally let me in. And they were amazed. Let me tell you, Peter listened to the voice of God. Let me tell you, I don't know what you're going through this year, but you need to start listening to God. You can't listen to people now. You can't listen to the man. You can't listen to the world. You can't listen to the flesh. The flesh won't want what it wants. You have to listen to God. Amen? And then Paul. Paul listened to the voice of God. See, Paul was the one that was a zealous for the Lord. Paul was the one that was locking up Christians. Paul was the one that didn't care, it didn't care who you was, man or female. Paul was the one that was standing there when they stoned Stephen. You know the story. Paul was just a young man. And see, back then, when they got ready to stone you, they had to take the coats off. They had tunics and they had coats on. And so they would take the coat off. And Paul and the men said, I need somewhere to hang my coat. Paul said, just lay him on my arm right here. And so Paul was standing there, and they were taking off their coats, and they were stoning Stephen. And they were stoning. And see, what they would do, they put you down on a hole, and they would stone you to death. And Stephen looked up to heaven and said, Lord Jesus Christ, don't lay this to their charge. You remember that? And Paul couldn't get that out of his mind. Paul would say, well, what was he talking about? But the day Paul got knocked down, oh, sometimes God had to knock you down. The day that Paul got knocked down on the road to Damascus, Paul said, and the Lord said to Paul, Saul, Saul, what are you doing kicking against the pricks? And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus. It's hard for thee to kick against me. Y'all remember the story? And Saul began to listen to the voice of God. And wherever Saul went, it was two things to happen. It was a revival or a riot. So whenever Saul went to a city, they either got saved or they run him out of town. And so wherever Saul goes, the Lord said, Saul, don't worry about these people. I'll take care of these people. And then he told Saul one time, I got much people in here. Just keep on preaching. And then he told Saul, said, you need to go, you're going to have to go to Caesar. Then you're going to have to go to Augusta. Then you're going to have to go to Agrippa. Then you're going to have to go to Felix. Then you have to go to Festus. So Saul listened to the voice of God. There came time, the same thing I heard at Charlotte's mama funeral. There came time that Saul said, fought a good fight. What he said? I kept the faith. I finished my course. Let me tell you, this year, don't give up. This year, be like Joseph. Fight the fight of faith. Christian is not a cakewalk. It's a fight. The devil is out to take you out. He want to destroy your family. He want to destroy your testimony. But don't give up. Amen. Fight the fight. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. I used to preach like this. You know, when you're in the ring fighting, they always give you that 10 count. You get knocked out. See, sometimes Satan knock you down. I don't care what nobody say. Sometimes you knock you out. But Jesus standing on you say, one, two. And by the time you get to nine, you straighten back up. He said, you're still in that fight. So let me tell you. He said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Don't lose your faith. Don't give up. Now, all these people that said, I used to believe, no, they ain't never believed. Because if you believe God for what he did for you, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. For me to tell me I used to be a Christian, no, you ain't used to be nothing. Because God is still God. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. Every one of us in here has got a job to do. By the way, nobody else can do your job for you. You know, it used to be, well, somebody else going to plead. No, God got a job for you. So I want you to be like the Apostle Paul or be like Joseph.
Finish your course. Whatever God called you to do, do it. Joseph jumped right on that and went on down to Egypt, came right on back to Egypt and raised Jesus for 30 years. Joseph finished his course. You don't have anything in the Bible. What happened to Joseph, we don't know, but we know one thing. He trained Jesus. He taught Jesus carpentry, and he finished his course. Whatever your course is today, is your course is to raise your children. Your course is to be whatever your profession is. Finish your course so that when they die, when you die, they can say, he finished his course. She finished her course. That's what I liked about Brother Freeman and Sister Freeman's funeral. He was sitting there preaching about she finished her course. I think Charlotte said it like this. Said she went to see her mama and she said, I was talking to some of our family members. She said, what are you talking about, mama? She was already seeing around the throne of grace, looking forward to going home. I don't know about you, but I'm a chaplain. And sometime when I go to the nursing home or when I go to the hospital, I go to bless them. And they bless me more than I bless them. Because them saints of God been talking to God for a mighty long time. And they have a vision on the Lord. And they be saying, I'm going home. It won't be too long. I'm going home. I remember my sister told me, my mama said, is it all right now? I'm finna leave. My sister said, what you talking about? She said, I just want you to know that all my estate is in order. I set it all up. Me and my wife were talking about this the other day. She said, now, you know, when you get old, I know y'all can identify this. She said, you have to tell the people at the hospital what you want to do, whether you want to be resuscitated if your heart stops, or whether you want to do, where you want your organs to go. She said, you have to, what you call that? A what?
Living will.
A living will. No, it was something else she called. What you call it?
Advanced directive.
A what?
It's the same thing, advanced directive.
Advanced directive. She said, I said, you got to do all that. She said, yeah, you need to do all that before you die, so that everything would be lined up. Well, I'm here to tell you, my mother had everything lined up. All we had to do was walk through the steps. And by the way, she kept her eyes on the Lord. This last year of 2019, let's learn from Joseph. Let's not have the blues after Christmas. Let's not get down in the dumps after the glamour, after they take the lights off, after they take the roof down and the tree down, after we open all our presents. Let's remember that God is still on the throne. And he still sits high and he look low. He's still the bridge over troubled water. He's still a mind regulator. He's still a body healer. He's still a finance boy. He can do whatever he wants to. And all I got to do is lean and depend on the Lord. Amen? That song that they sang, lean on me. You know the only person I can lean on is the Lord. You know, I never had and I hate to say this because it always looked like I'm tearing up. I didn't have a godly father. I didn't have a Christian in my life. I didn't have nobody to teach me about the things of the Lord, but I do now. I got the Lord. And I can see Joseph saying, you know what, Lord? I don't understand all the things you do. Matter of fact, Isaiah said like this, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heaven is from the earth, so are his ways. So a lot of time when you can't figure God out, stop trying to figure him out. Just trust him. I was going to bring this up in our Sunday school today. The Bible said they forsake all and followed him. If you take the word faith, F-A-I-T-H, the acronym for it is forsaking all, I take him. You got it? Faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all. I take him. You know who I'm talking about? Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this first Sunday after Christmas, Lord. And Lord, we know that a lot of people get depressed. A lot of people get down in the dumps. But Lord, help us to be like Joseph. Help us to get on up, trust you, and flee on to Egypt, do all the things you called us to do, and come back and be on that Christian journey that you call us to do. Lord, some of us got things in our life that we don't know how they're going to work out, but you know how they're going to work out. So I pray, Lord, even if we get invitation, that you draw sinners into yourself before it's ever too late, and we'll be kept to give you all the honor and the praise. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.